Do you want to be happier? Sing more. Happiness makes us sing, for sure, but maybe you didn't know that singing actually makes us happier. Studies have shown that singing increases our happiness in a number of ways. It increases our feel-good feelings. First of all, it makes us breathe more deeply and therefore gets more oxygen into our systems. It also, as a result, releases endorphins. These are what are often called happy chemicals that increase our sense of well-being. Also, singing, especially learning new songs, helps us to concentrate. And as a result, it shuts out our stresses and worries and strains that are in our lives. Also, the social connection of learning something together really helps us to connect with people. And of course, learning something new, that also gives you a sense of joy and happiness. And also, singing in front of people gives us a confidence boost. So many reasons scientists have found that singing actually makes us happier, especially singing together, in a choir. Here's how one of the reports put it. On average, choral singers rated their satisfaction with life higher than the public, even when the actual problems faced by these singers were more substantial than those faced by the general public. Also, the support system of being part of a group and the commitment of that group that gets people out of the house and into the chorus every week, these benefits are a big component of why choral singers tend to be happier than the rest of us. Now, if that's true of a choir of people, how much more true a choir of angels? If singing in a group of people makes us happier, how much more if we can join in singing with the angels? And that's what we want to do today using this passage. We want to experience how singing makes us happy, especially singing with the angels makes us happy. And if you want to sum up our message today, it's this: lift up praise songs to lift up God and to lift up your spirit. Lift up praise songs to lift up God and to lift up your spirit. Well, you're familiar here with the story, the shepherds in the fields. They're just watching their sheep when suddenly an angel appears, makes an incredible announcement of a great Savior who will be a great surprise, because this great Savior is just a little baby lying in a feeding trough, that will create great joy to a great number of people. And as the other angels hear this angelic announcement, they can't but burst forth into a great song. So the angel's announcement starts an angel anthem, an angel choir. And that's what we want to hear today. But we want to ask, first of all here, who is the conductor of this choir? Who is the song leader? Well, it's very clear. God is our song leader. God is our choir director. God is our conductor. I want to show you two things here. First of all, angels serve Christians. Angels serve Christians. Now, angels, of course, are these awesome heavenly beings, far greater than really we can ever picture in our minds. And yet these awesome heavenly beings, their main task is to serve people on earth. Low people, small people, God's people. There's that beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Angels are all ministering or serving spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Isn't that incredible? This is why God made angels. He made these massive creatures to do lowly service, to be servants, to come down to serve his people. Angels serve Christians. And if we could see into heaven this morning, if heaven would open, you know what we would see? Well, we actually don't need to imagine, because the Bible tells us in Genesis 28, Jacob was enabled to see into heaven. Heaven opened, and you know what he saw? He saw a ladder going from heaven to earth. And at the top of the ladder was God. And what's on the ladder were angels. Angels were descending and ascending. They were coming down and they were going up. They were doing what we here read of in Hebrews 1:14. They were coming to serve. These high, majestic creatures, they're waiting, multitudes around them, around God this morning, waiting for his orders, waiting for their next mission, their next secret mission to earth. And as soon as they get their command, as soon as they get their mission, do you know what they do? They don't debate, they don't discuss, they don't negotiate. We read about it in Psalm 103. It says this: "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will." So here they are, they're all gathered around him. They're all just waiting with bated breath for their next mission. As soon as they're given it, off they go. They fly at speed down the ladder. They go to God's people. Who are they going to serve today? Who are they going to carry through a day? Who are they going to protect? Who are they going to provide for? Who are they going to encourage? Who are they going to whisper to? Who are they going to keep from temptation? Who are they going to enable to serve? Multitudes. All over the world. All over this church here today. If we could see them, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? They're here. We're told there's joy amongst the angels of heaven over sinners repenting, and that joy is not confined to heaven. They come into church services and they find joy when they see repenting hearts. Angels come to serve Christians. And that's one of the things they're doing here in this passage. But angels also served Christ. They don't just serve Christians. They serve Christ. And that's what we've been seeing here. They have this general work of serving God's people, but they also have a special work. They had this special work of serving Christ in his coming into the world, in his being in the world, and in his leaving of this world. This was one of their very special missions. And so here, when Jesus is born, we are not surprised that there's this outburst of angelic activity. We've been seeing the angels of Advent, haven't we? The teaching angel that went to Joseph, to Mary. The encouraging angel that went to Joseph. And now the singing angels that were sent to the shepherds and to us. So they have this general work and they have this special work. I think if we can, again, try and enter heaven this evening, that the angels were out in their fields, whatever task the angels had at that point stopped. And every single angel had one single mission, and it was this: worship Jesus. How do we know that? Well, of course, we see here this great company of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying. So there's that, but there's more. In a little noticed verse in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, we read this: when God brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. You see that? So we're sort of given a peek behind the scenes here. We see the stage, the front stage in Luke 2, but in Hebrews 1, we see behind the stage, we see God saying, angels, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you are on the ladder, wherever you are on earth, whoever you're with, whether you're waiting here, wherever you are, let all the angels of God worship him. Let all your attention zoom in, focus on, concentrate like a laser upon this little baby. And so all over the universe, wherever these angels were, they were falling to worship their God as well. Isn't that an incredible thought? Angels bowing, angels worshiping this little baby with everything they have. They'd never sang such a song before. So, two things we can take away from this. Number one, thank God for the angels, eh? We don't pray to angels. We pray only to God through Christ, but we can thank God for the angels. We owe them more than we will ever know in this world. We really just don't know how many times angels have been at work serving us, but we couldn't survive without them. I'm sure maybe if we've lived as a Christian for a while, we sort of suspect there were a couple of times maybe, or one time, where that seemed like an angel. I know certainly in my own life, at least once. But that's nothing compared to all the times there have been angels at work serving us, an innumerable number, doing innumerable things for us. We should be thankful for that, shouldn't we? Thank God for the angels. But secondly, let's obey God's call to worship. Here, he's calling the angels to worship. And if he calls angels to worship the Savior, how much more should we? When God says worship, we don't say, wait, hold on. It's not very convenient. I'm a bit busy. Can we put this off? No, remember, the call to worship that we hear is not from me, and it's not from Jordan. It's from God. It's God's call to worship. And here God is calling us to worship. And if angels stopped to worship a Savior they didn't need, how much more should we, who so desperately need a Savior, and who therefore have multiple more reasons to praise? When God says worship, never say wait. Just follow the angels. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When God says worship, we say, we worship. We bow, we adore. So God is our song leader. But who wrote the song? Well, God is our songwriter. God is our songwriter. We might ask, you know, if God wrote a song, what would it be like? Well, we actually don't need to ask because we have it here. God wrote this song. Here it is. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And you might say here, God's song has two speakers, right? One speaker is pointing heavenwards, and out of it is coming this, glory to God in the highest. And then there's another speaker, and it's pointed towards the earth, and it's saying peace towards people. These are this is the Dolby stereo of God's song that he has written for us. Glory, peace. Glory, peace. Let's look at both of these here. First, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Now, the angels had praised God many times before this. And again, Revelation helps us peer into heaven. And there we see angels just continually worshiping God. They'd worshiped him many times, but never like this. Never so many, never so loudly, never so heartily, never so amazingly. They'd never been so happy. They had never been so loud in their praises. There is a verse in 1 Peter. Maybe you want to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, one of these little verses that you just skip over at times, but it tells us about the angels. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. It's been speaking of the prophecies of Christ, of Christ's coming, and then the gospel being preached. And he says at the end of verse 12, even angels long to look into these things. Children, have you ever like been in a crowd and you're small and everyone else is so big and you're like just standing on tippy toes? You're like stretching every fiber in your legs to get taller, and you're stretching your neck to try and see over the crowd. Well, that's actually the literal translation of that verse. The angels were standing on tiptoes, straining their necks, trying to look into what Peter's just talked about there. This is quite a description, isn't it? Angels on tiptoes, angels straining their neck, just longing to see into, to understand what this is all about, this great plan of salvation that God was accomplishing. And here they finally see what they'd been longing to look into. It's like the crowd clears away, the shadows disappear, and there he is in the manger. Here is what they were longing for years and millennia to see. Here is the baby Jesus. Here is what it's all about. And as soon as they see it, it's glory to God in the highest. This is it. Glory, glory, glory. Higher, higher, higher. Glory upwards to God. Here is heaven's speaker, but there's an earthly speaker, and it's peace to people. Peace to people. So remember in Ephesians, Paul says we are not only singing to God, but we're singing to one another. When we join in our praises, we are not just singing upwards, we are singing sideways. We're seeking to edify and encourage and bless those around us. And that's what the angels are doing here. They're yes, upwards, upwards, but they're also downwards, downwards. Never had they lifted glory so high. Never had they lowered peace so low. And here they are giving this great song, peace to people, peace to people. And the word there is similar to the Jewish word shalom, which is much bigger than our idea of peace. It's just an overall general well-being. And this is what the angels are desiring for not just this generation, but for all generations. Lord, give them peace. They so much need peace. And the peace here is not a kind of squishy feeling in the heart. Neither is it the absence of conflict in our lives. The peace primarily is vertical. It's peace with God, knowing that God is no longer angry with us. Knowing that he is at peace with us, as well as us being at peace with him. These angels look down there and they see this little baby And they say, that's it. That's how people can have peace with God. And that's how God can have peace with people. And notice, it doesn't go to everyone. It's peace to those on whom his favor rests. And that is not a word that suggests, oh, he looks good, let's give him some peace. Oh, she's doing well, let's give her some peace. No, it's the word for grace, like undeserved. It's like, well, he's not doing well, let's give him peace. Oh, she's really needy, let's give her peace. This is the way to get God's peace, to come and confess that you are needy, that you are not at peace with him, and he is not at peace with you, but you want that peace. Peace to people. So what can we take away from this? This song that God has written for us? Well, number one, we take away this. Worship is primarily about glory to God. That's where it begins. It doesn't say peace to people, P.S., glory to God. No, it's glory to God, then peace to people. That's the priority. We love to come to worship and get our feelings moved. Of course we do. But if that's why we come, it's unlikely to happen. And if it is, it's probably not real spirituality. But if we come and say, I need to give glory to God, I need to lift him up, I need to magnify him, then what will follow usually is peace, objective and subjective, the fact and the feeling. But we need to get our priorities right here. It's primarily about glory to God. Let the angels teach us here. You know, the word for glory means weighty, weighty. And what they're basically saying is, let God be weighty. Let him be heavy. And it's not a gloomy heavy. It's not a dark heavy. It's an awe-inspiring heavy. It's like when you see the Grand Canyon maybe for the first time. It's weighty, and yet it's wow. This is what the angels want for you and for me, for us all. And the more we feel that weightiness of God, the more I believe it will squeeze that joy and peace out of our hearts in worship. Worship is primarily about glory to God. But secondly, we can take away this. Ask for his peace on earth. He desires it. And we see this tumultuous earth that we're in. There's so much need for peace, isn't there? Peace with God, peace with others, peace in our hearts. That's shalom. It's a holistic peace. And this is what's offered in the gospel. In fact, God connects these two things. God's glory is to give us peace. And our peace gives him glory. So it's not really one or the other. It's just get them in the right order. And you'll get both. God's glory is to give us peace. This is what makes God big, weighty, heavy, magnificent, majestic, splendid, wonderful, fantastic, when he gives peace. And when we get it, wow, don't we want to give him glory? When peace comes so low, do we not want to lift his glory so high? And it's a wonderful experience, isn't it? So who is this song about? We've got a song leader. We've got a songwriter. What's the subject of the song? God is our song, isn't it? God is our song. He's our song leader. He's our songwriter. He's the tune, but he's also the words of our song. And we see that in two ways. We see first the angels here fueled with joy. The angels were fueled with joy. So there's this announcing angel that comes and says, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. And the other angels hear this song about great joy, about the great Savior in a greatly surprising way, and they cannot stop but become a great choir. This fuels them with joy. The happy news made them happy angels with a happy song. The angels were fueled with joy. And this is what is possible for us too. This worship fueled their joy. And that's what a lot of us have been missing, isn't it? As we've tried to navigate these difficult days. Just worship fueling our joy. We've missed it so much. Our kids have missed it. We've all missed it. And we earnestly pray for this period to come to an end because we so much need this weekly fuel. Fuel us, Lord, with joy. Use worship to fill us with joy as it filled the angels. But it wasn't just the angels that were fueled with joy. So were the shepherds. The shepherds were fueled with joy. So here, the shepherds have the best seats at the best concert ever. And they hear the best songs ever sung by the best choir ever. And they say, we can't keep this to ourselves. And so they rush off here. We read, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened that the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. You can almost see them sprinting, can't you, through the fields. You're not going to just saunter along. You're going to run like you've never ran in your life before. You know, these shepherds running through the fields, running through the streets of Bethlehem, running to this place, bursting open the doors, and there, what do they see? The baby lying in the manger. And what happens next? When they had seen, in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to him. Then the shepherds returned. They went back to their fields. Not a meeting you'd quickly walk away from, but they had to eventually. And how did they go? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. You see what happens here? Worship. The shepherds were fueled with joy. They heard this joyous news. They ran as they never ran before. They found what they looked at, that they longed for. And then they told about the concert they heard and the one that they heard sung about. Angel songs produced shepherd songs. May they produce songs in our hearts too. So again, let's take two truths away from this. Let's use worship to fuel our joy. Use worship to fuel our joy. They sang happily about the happiest news. Their hearts were stirred up, and they had no need of salvation. Holy singing angels should produce holy singing people. They should be inspirations to us. And this worship should fuel our joy, that we go out as the shepherds went out, full of joy. But that's not all. It also fueled their witness. It fueled their witness. Fueled their worship, and it fueled their witness. And that's what we want too, isn't it? And in some ways, the real gauge of whether we've worshipped is whether we witness afterwards. So, we long to worship God in spirit and in truth. The test of whether we have is whether we witness to God's truth by the Spirit. That's the true gauge of whether true worship has really happened. Worshippers become witnesses. So let's use worship to fuel our witness. Let's use worship to fuel our joy. Start singing to stop sinning. Start singing to stop sinning. Start singing, you could also say to start speaking. So in recent weeks, we've been talking about how we want to use God's story to change our story. Well, here we can use God's song to change our song. And so we gather here around his word and we hear his song. And we pray that it would change our song in order that we can sing a new song. That's the dynamic, isn't it, that this verse invites us to. Hear the song, be changed by the song, then sing the song. Go out and share this wonderful song with others in one way or another in the coming weeks. Or as we put it at the beginning, lift up praise songs to lift up God and to lift up your spirits. Can we do that today? Singing, this kind of singing, not only produces holiness, but happiness. Let's pray.